Man, welcome to Bethel Assembly this morning. It's always fun to come hang out with you guys and worship God together. We're entering into our Easter season. Next week is going to be Easter, and I love this season. And the reason that I call it a season is because today we're going to read a story in the scripture known as Palm Sunday, where Jesus comes riding into town, into Jerusalem. They recognize him, and then next week we get to celebrate the resurrection, and then the next week is still the Easter season when we get to walk and talk with the risen Savior every day. And I'll be real honest with y'all, I love it when it gets Easter season, because can we be real? Look at me. Look. Sometimes we lose our zeal and our passion for the Lord and for church throughout the year. But when Easter season comes around, we all kind of get reminded. We got to go back and we remember what Christ has done in our life. And we come back, and it's usually this really cool season where people get back on fire. I'm praying for you to get on fire. Look, I'm praying for you to get on fire. I'm praying for you and me and all of us just to get on fire for the Lord. So today, I'm going to start out by telling you a story about the Red Steagall Ranch Rodeo in 1999. The Red Steagall Ranch Rodeo, it's in Fort Worth. It's in the historic Fort Worth Stockyards. It's north side, some people call it. It's just right next to Billy Bob's. It's the big ranch rodeo Red Steagall put on. So we go down there. It's 1999. I'm on a team. I'm riding for the Young Ranch. There's some friends of ours down around Weatherford. It was the year that Tubby and I got married. And can I tell you, I always used to look at these old cowboys back in the day, these old ranch cowboys, and they all drove Lincoln Town cars. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The big square, you know, and so, man, I couldn't wait, man. So Jennifer and I, she needed a new car. And so we came over here to Anson, and Charles Long Ford's what it was called then. Charles Long still owned it. And his wife, the day we show up, it was divine intervention. God had a plan for us. The day that we show up to try to trade for a vehicle, Charles Long's wife was trading in her black Lincoln Town car. And boy, we signed a big note. We couldn't afford it, but we signed a big note, man. And so we're headed to the Red Steagall Ranch Rodeo. And just a few weeks before the Red Steagall Ranch Rodeo, I found a one-horse trailer. And I bought that one-horse trailer, and we went all the way to Fort Worth in a black Lincoln Town car and a one-horse trailer down there. I mean, we were styling. Boy, when we got there, Jennifer, she's like, the whole way down there, she's like, oh my gosh, this is so horrible. I can't believe we're doing that. And the minute we pulled up, everybody come flocking over there. They're like, that's old school. I was like, dang right. Ain't no school like the old school. Come on, y'all. So we pull up down there. I'd competed down there for several years. And back then, I always rode the bucking horses in the ranch bronc riding. Not because I was a great bronc rider, just because I was the youngest and the dumbest, and I kept getting on every year. This year in 1999, it's Saturday Night Live. Downtown Fort Worth, cowboys have come to town, and we'd made up our minds. I'd gotten married. I'm done riding broncs. This is my retirement year. I'm going to finish riding this year. And so here we go. The Coliseum sold out. Bernice Johnson was the stock contractor, and I drawed his paint stud. And we knew the horse could buck, because if you keep them for a stud to raise other colts out of, they got to be buckers. And so anyway, we get to the back, the paint stud, we get him saddled in the chute, I mount up, I crawl down there, I nod my head, and they open the gate. And without a doubt, it was the wildest bronc ride I've ever had in my entire life. I'm telling you, if I'm being real honest with you, like Cole would tell you, I had him forked perfect, boy. I was never in a bind. But let me tell you, this sucker had me bucked off like six times. He just kept jumping back under me. And it was wild. He would get high in the front end. And I mean, the crowd's going wild. And finally, the buzzer goes off. I don't even wait for the pickup, man. I hawk, I Henson this sucker. I throw the bridle to the halter, and I jump, and I hit the ground like this. And I just run out of the arena like that. Standing ovation. Fort Worth Stock Show crowd going wild. They marked me a 92 that night. Yeah. I mean, it was like, I mean, for me, and I'm just telling you, at that point in my life, like, I'm cowboy, it's all about being cowboy, like, that was a moment for me. I mean, it just was. It was a moment for me. But today, I want to tell you about another bronc ride that became a moment for me. I'm going to tell you about another bronc ride that became a very important moment for me. It was in Guthrie, Texas. Actually, the bronc ride took place just outside of Jerusalem, but I first heard about the bronc ride when we were living in Guthrie, Texas. It was at night when I opened up the Bible to Luke chapter number 19. I didn't know what I was doing. How many of you, if you're really honest, have ever done this before? You're at a tough time, you're in a tough season, and you finally go, I'm going to get the Bible. You're like, Lord, speak to me, please. And you just open it up. Anybody ever done that, or is that just me? How many of you done this? Oh, okay, wait, you didn't hear me, Lord. Let's go. That night I opened the Bible. I was like, Lord, I need you to speak to me. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I need. And I opened it up, and it opened up to Luke chapter 19, known as Palm Sunday, known as the triumphal entry this very Sunday morning. So we're going to read that. I'm going to read that to you today, and then we'll pray, and we'll just see what the Lord might say to us today. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse number 28. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse number 28. After Jesus had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples. He said to them, go into that village ahead of you, and when you enter, there's going to be a colt tied to the fence. And nobody has ever sat on this colt before. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall tell them, the Lord has need of it. So these two went away, and they found it just as Jesus had told them. And when they were untying the colt from the fence, the owner comes out, says, why are you untying this colt? And they said, well, the Lord needs it. So they brought it to Jesus. They threw their coats on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. As they were going, they were spreading their coats all along the road. As soon as Jesus approached near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. They were shouting, blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, though, said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered and he said, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will immediately cry out. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, take this message, make it real, make it relevant, make it personal. Let it speak to us where we are, Lord. Everyone in this place, we love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I love the fact Jesus is entering into the last week of his life. He's headed to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where he will ultimately be arrested. He will be crucified. He will be beaten. He will die for the sins of the world. They're headed to Jerusalem. And he says to two of his buddies when they get close to the town of Bethany, said, hey, you two guys, go to that next town over there. And when you get to that next town, there's going to be a colt tied to the fence. It's a colt. It's a young donkey. And the scripture specifically says nobody has ever ridden this donkey before. And so I just need you to know that in the cowboy world and in the horse world, when you have a colt, a young horse that no one has ever ridden, we call that a bronc. We call it a bronc because nobody has ever ridden it before. They go get this bronc donkey. They bring him to Jesus. And I love the scripture says they threw their coats on this donkey and they put Jesus on the donkey. Now, I'm just telling you, that night when I read this story right here, man, it just came alive to me. I got my cowboy mind going, and they're bringing this donkey that nobody's ever ridden, and he's got to be a little bronky. He's got to be sitting back. There's people everywhere. It's Palm Sunday. They got their palm leaves, and they're trying to throw coats up on this donkey. The donkey's jumping this way, kicking at him, like doing all that. And I could just see Peter jumping up and grabbing an ear full on that donkey and earing that donkey down. And the Bible says what I love. It doesn't say Jesus got on. It said they put him on. So they're like, hey, Jesus, like, wait a minute. That sucker's bronkier than what I thought. And they got, no, we're putting you on. And in my mind, they put Jesus on. How many of you know Jesus never used his power to benefit himself while he was on the earth? He touched others. He healed others. So I just believe, being all God, he got on that donkey. And you know what I think happened? I think he throwed one hand up, whooped that sucker where the colt sucks. And I think the bronc ride was on that day. That's why the whole crowd was cheering. I can't help. Have you ever been around a bunch of ornery cowboys? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? I can't help but think that once Jesus got the bronc donkey rode for the first time, there had to be somebody standing over there holding a palm leaf or a coat and said, I don't think he can ride him again if he bucks, and threw it up under his nose. It was this moment, man. And all of a sudden, when Jesus rides this broke donkey, like the crowd goes wild. They're shouting with a loud voice. They're cheering. They recognized Jesus at this moment. Now listen, they followed him for 3 years. This is the end of Jesus's life. For 3 years, he had done ministry. These people had followed him. They had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him heal the woman with the issue of blood, but they just didn't really comprehend he was really the king that was coming to save the world. But in this moment, when he rode a broke donkey, they said, "That is our king." And they started shouting and praising. Luke 19:37. When they saw Jesus riding the donkey into town, they suddenly recognized him. Here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to hear. Why did they recognize him at this moment? Why all of a sudden, after following 3 years, did they just now recognize him? Can I tell you this? This was a Jewish crowd, and the Jews knew the Word of God. They knew the Old Testament. They didn't just get the Word of God given to them on Sunday morning. They read the Word of God. They studied the Word of God. It was their culture. They recognized Jesus in this moment because they knew that in the Old Testament was prophecy of the soon coming king. And they knew that Zechariah 9:9 said this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey." On a colt, the foal of a donkey. They recognized Jesus because they knew the Word of God. And can I just challenge you with something? If you want to recognize God moving in your life right now, maybe some of you are in a tough season. Maybe you say, "I'm just not feeling God." Maybe you just don't understand right now. Can I tell you, get in the Word of God. You cannot read the Word of the living God and not recognize Jesus where you are in your life. Read the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. They knew the Word, and they recognized Jesus. My prayer for you and for me is this. Maybe we've been following Jesus. Maybe we've been coming to church. Maybe we've been knowing the Word of God. But my prayer is that today, before you leave here, your eyes, your spiritual eyes would be opened in a new way, and you would recognize him afresh in this season of your life. They recognized him, and when they recognized him, guess what they did? Praise the Lord. When they recognized him, they got just a little bit rowdy for the Lord. How many of you know it's okay to get a little bit rowdy for the Lord? Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me out, are you? Oh, yeah. I see you at the rodeo. I see some of you at the rodeo. I see you if somebody makes a good bronc ride. I see you when somebody ties a calf in under 8. I see you at the basketball games. I see you at the Wiley Bulldog games. I see you at the Final Four. I see you going nuts over a lot of stuff. But yet when it comes to serving the Lord, and when it comes to your forgiveness of sin, and when it comes to your new heart, and when it comes to your eternal home in heaven, the world is like the Pharisees. They said, "Bring it on down. Be just a little bit quiet." Can I tell you, Jesus puts the stamp of approval on getting rowdy for him. He does. So they're all shouting and they're all praising. And the religious folks said, "Jesus, you've got to do something with those people. Tell them to calm down. Tell them they can't do that." And Jesus said, "If these stop praising me, even the rocks are going to cry out in my place." Jesus said, "Get a little rowdy," is what he said right there. And some of you, can I just tell you? Some of you look as dumb as a box of rocks, but I know that you know deep down inside of you, you know what the Lord has done for you, and you know where the Lord has brought you from, and I understand situations, and I understand circumstances, and I understand trouble can sometimes get us to be quiet and not be so rowdy and excited for the Lord, but my prayer is that today you say, "I ain't letting no rock cry out in my place. I'm going to give my God praise because he's worthy of it all." That was good, but it needs to get a little bit better here in a minute. It was better for me than it was for Connor. I'm just saying. Jesus rides the bronc donkey. They're cheering. Thus, he enters into the final week of his life. It was a moment when I read that. It was a moment for those guys. It was a moment for those people. But I'm going to tell you about one more moment that's going to come one of these days. Let me tell you about another moment that involves Jesus now graduating up from a jackass to riding a white horse. Come on, somebody. It became a moment for me, and I pray that it becomes a moment for you. It's found in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. The book of Revelation is when John, the apostle, was on the island of Patmos. It was on Sunday morning. He's by himself. He has nothing. He has no preacher to preach to him. He has no worship band to lead him in worship. But on a Sunday morning, he's out by himself, isolated. He chooses to worship God. And when he chooses to worship God, the Holy Spirit comes down and it opens up the floor of heaven and allows John the Revelator to be able to see what's into heaven. And John records in the book of Revelation what he sees. And let's read what John the Revelator sees in heaven. Revelation chapter 19. Verse number 11, John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. How many know there's only one that's really faithful and really true? It's Jesus. And I saw heaven open up, and there was a white horse, whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges, and he makes war. His eyes were like blazing fire, and on his head were many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, and they were dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love that scene. I love that scene. I had a moment when I rode that paint bronc down there at Fort Worth. And then I had a moment when I realized Jesus rode a bronc donkey. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have a bigger moment when I see Jesus riding that white horse coming back from heaven someday. Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming back. Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming back. Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to receive us unto his own. Our faith will give way to our sight. Everything that we believe for, every moment that we fought through, every struggle that we overcame is going to be worth it all when Jesus comes back to get the blood-bought church. You know how you're going to get to go to heaven? Not because of your good works, or not because you made a good bronc ride at Fort Worth, or not because of your family name, or not because of your money. There is only one way that we're going to get our white horse, and there's only one way that we're going to get to spend eternity in heaven. It is if we are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us white as snow. Jesus is coming back. When's he coming back, Cody? Nobody knows that answer. I don't care what kind of prophecy or what you heard some preacher on TV say. The Word of God says no one knows the hour, only the Father. You know why? Can I tell you something? You know why nobody knows? Because we're people. And we're fickle. Come on, somebody. And if we knew what day he was coming back, we would live like hell right up to the very day and then try to get right and live right. And the Lord says, nobody knows. This is not a game. You don't get to play one way. If Jesus has saved you, take off your grave clothes, put on righteousness, and live for the glory of God right now until he comes back. Here's what I think. Someday, God's going to look over the porch of heaven. God the Father. And he's going to have seen enough of this old world and enough of the darkness. And I think he's going to turn to his son, Jesus Christ, our soon returning king. And he's going to say, son, it's time. It's time for you to go get my people. Go get them and gather them up. Let's have a big family reunion. Let's have a meeting in the air. Go get my people. And here's the way I think it's going to play out when that day comes about. You know, the Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if you got that many cattle in heaven, you got to have a lot of horses to take care of them cattle. And if all the armies are coming back with Jesus riding a white horse, they got to be a big old remuda in heaven. And I think Jesus is going to go find some young little cowboy, some young little button. He's going to say, "Button, go gather them horses. Go jingle the horses." And this little young cowboy is going to go out all across the horse pastures of heaven and gather the biggest herd of white horses, the biggest remuda of white horses you ever seen. And when the final horse comes in the corral and they shut the gate, I think the wagon boss, Jesus, is going to come out with his catch rope. And he's going to get his catch rope and he's going to start throwing them hula hands and he's going to start catching them white horses. And guess what? He's going to catch my granddaddy's horse. And he's going to catch Bobby Thompson's horse, best calf dragger I ever seen in the world. And he's going to catch Keith Slover's horse. And he's going to catch John Gaither's horse, a man, a cowboy, who served God faithfully for a lot of years. And after Jesus gets everybody else's horse caught, I think there'll be one final horse standing in the corner of a corral on a cool, crisp, a little bit foggy morning. I think that final horse will have a little bow in his neck and have some rollers in his nose. And Jesus will fire that final hula hand, and he'll draw it down tight around his throat latch. That horse is going to start coming out, and I think Jesus is going to take a clapper 27 bit and hang it in that horse's mouth. I think he's going to saddle that horse up. He's going to gird him up tight, and then he's going to untrack him a few steps. And then he'll get a handful of mane, and he'll stick his foot heel deep in that stirrup, and he's going to throw his long, wide Galilean leg over that horse, and he's going to turn to the armies in heaven and say something like this: "Grease your bridle reins and sharpen your spur rails, boys, because we're going on a ride like we ain't never been on before." If you know the scripture and you know Jesus, he knew how to use a bullwhip because he got that bullwhip and run him out of the church that day. I think Jesus is going to wind that bullwhip around his head a couple of times. Why, pow! And when he does, the eastern sky is going to split. The archangel is going to shout. The trumpet is going to blow. And Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all the armies in heaven are coming back to receive you and I so that we can go be with him forever. I don't know about you, that's going to be a moment for me. That's going to be a moment that I don't want to miss. That's going to be a moment I'm going to make up my mind. I wake up every day and I live for the glory of God. Not that I'm perfect, but I'm striving and I'm repenting and I'm praying and I'm giving my best every day to be counted worthy. It's going to be a moment. Conrad and worship team, y'all come help me, please. At that moment, had a moment, Fort Worth, had a moment when I read about the bronc donkey, and I had a moment thinking about Jesus coming back. And you know what it did for me? You know what reading the Word of God did for me? Created a hunger in me, a hunger for more of God. A hunger, and my prayer is that prayer is for you today, that you'd get hungry for the Lord. Come on, y'all, that you'd get hungry. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You need to be filled up today? You need to be filled up today? Well, let me tell you, you may get excited when Connor plays, and you may get excited over the fiddle, and you may get excited about me telling a cowboy story, but there is nothing that will fill you up, and there's nothing that will satisfy you more than knowing Jesus more every day. And that comes through the Word of God. It created this hunger in me, and I started reading the Word of God. Man, Jesus just became real, and guess what else I did? I stayed rowdy for the Lord. Come on, y'all. I don't bring much to the table. I get it. I understand. I tell them all the time, what you lack in education and spirituality, just make up for it with passion. Come on, somebody. Passion. Get your fire back. Can I preach to some of you jokers out there today? I remember when you come out of that old IST church, you know what an IST church is? Methodist, Baptist, or Church of Christ. And they was real quiet and mild and meek, and you sang out of a hymnal, and you never sang any louder than this right here. I seen you go on your walk to Emmaus. You were singing, "I'll Fly Away," running around the room, acting like an idiot over there. First time you came to Bethel, and boy, the music was a-going in the drums, and you'd go, "Woo!" I seen you, and I seen me when we first got saved and when we first got delivered from the spirit of religion. We need to quit looking at everybody else and saying, "Jesus, rebuke them." And we need to say, "I'm going to get my rowdy back. I'm going to get my rowdy back." He stayed rowdy. Because I'm going to tell you about old Cody. Ain't no rock going to cry in my place. I'm going to give God praise. It's a huge moment. We're going to close with worship today. And so here's what I want to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand up on your feet. We're going to close with a new song today. And it's not just any song. It's a song that Connor and the worship team have recently written. And they wrote it for this moment, for this day. They wrote it for Palm Sunday, and they wrote it for this sermon. Because it's a moment. And I want you, my prayer is for you as we sing this song with the sermon and with the Easter season and a spirit of expectancy and hunger in your heart. I pray that God would reveal himself to you today, much like he did on that Palm Sunday 2025 years ago. My prayer for you is today that you come out of the closet as a Christian. You come out of the closet and you say, you know what? I got to give my God praise because he bought me from a mighty long way. Let's bow our heads and then we're going to pray and we're going to sing this song. Father, we love you and you are a good God. You are awesome. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room and everybody watching online. I pray that today would be a moment. You would speak to us. You would challenge us. I pray that today, this Palm Sunday, we would get our fire lit back up. That you would fan into flames the fire of God. The Holy Spirit would fall. And that, Lord, really today we would have a moment much like those followers did on the road to Jerusalem. A moment where they throw caution to the wind. A moment where they can rejoice. A moment where they say, I'm going to praise my King because my King came to save me and came to forgive me. And my King has promised me eternal life through faith in him. So, Holy Spirit, move, speak to us. Let us choose to worship today with everything we got. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, y'all, let's go. Let's worship the Lord.